Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find out what matters to you, so you can do more of it. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Grayson Grunhafer, Sikkim365.com, and 365 Sports joins us on the show this afternoon as we're closing out this first hour into the 4 o'clock hour. Grayson, thanks for your time. So Craig and I and a couple of others were at the Jake Spavital presser after practice yesterday. Want to get into the quarterbacks and much more in a moment, but let's start with your thoughts. Baylor, who have kind of a habit of starting slowly, just jumped all into Colgate's business, and what did you see from them and your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think a lot of people came into this game thinking about Baylor being, you know, a bit of a flawed team. And I think we all agree they definitely have flaws. But one thing that Baylor has done all year long, I mean, pretty much literally from the very beginning of the year to now, is they really don't lose to teams that are, quote unquote, bad. They don't have bad losses on their resume. And that's just the way it's been all year long. And they continued that trend against Colgate. I felt like they would win this game pretty easily going into it, and they absolutely did that. But I will say, you know, their start to the game and then the way they just completely closed this game out was really encouraging to see, because I think we've seen a lot of times this year, you know, Baylor play with their food a little bit and have moments where they're up by 10 and then they just give up a lead, and then all of a sudden it's a two-point game and you're just sitting there just sweating like, oh my gosh, are they really going to, you know, fumble this game? But in this game, they absolutely didn't do that. They showed no signs of letting Colgate back in the game. Every time Colgate went on a run, someone made a three-pointer. Baylor made 16 of those today. They were just on fire from three, and a lot of that was really good offense, honestly. They shot a lot of really good open three-pointers, catch-and-shoot three-pointers. So I was very, very impressed with that. Defensively, you know, you say, oh, 67 points to Colgate, that's not very good. Okay, I mean, I felt like they were pretty good defensively, and I would also say that if Baylor gives up under 70 points in any tournament games, I think they're going to feel like they have a great chance to win that game and should win that game. So I think they took care of business on both sides of the ball, and I really felt like they came out and put together a very complete performance, and one that was really, really encouraging, as they're going to have a really tough test on Sunday.
This segment with Grayson Grunhafer brought to you by Richard Carr Motors, Baylor Bear Hotline, with us on 365 Sports.
Grayson, it is spring football now. The battles will start to begin for positions. Really, you know, I always get curious to see what the two deep is, but I would assume that Baylor has no idea what the two deep is right now, and maybe the one that they give us on the day of the spring game will still only be about 75% of the way there.
Yeah, I think that's possible. I mean, I think at some positions we have a pretty good idea of kind of where they're trending, I would say. But, yeah, I think in general there's a lot of competition right now, a lot of spots available, a lot of guys who are really young who are developing and growing, and you're kind of waiting to see, okay, what's that going to look like? Is there a guy that, you know, maybe jumps up and takes a starting position? You know, maybe a Trey Wilson at field end. Maybe he comes in and takes the starting job as a true sophomore. You know, there's other guys like that as well. Who are in the fold for that. I think there's a few positions that I feel pretty confident in saying, okay, I think I'm pretty confident this is going to be Baylor's starter. But I think you're right in general. There's a lot of competitions, a lot of positions available, and a lot of young guys who are going to have opportunities to show how much they've developed over the spring and then, of course, summer heading into fall.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being we are set, we have no concerns whatsoever, and 10 being, oh my gosh, we are totally screwed, where is your concern level now about nose tackle and the defensive line based on the medical retirements of Jarrell Boykins and Trey Emory, that we heard about the other day?
Yes. So Trey Emory and Jarrell Boykins both medically retired. Tough losses. So I think, Craig, to answer your question, I know this is going to come off as, oh, all doom and gloom, but I think it's definitely somewhere around a 7 or an 8 right now, and maybe even higher than that. I think you could convince yourself of that. I mean, simply put, Baylor needs to add another defensive lineman who's a veteran with size and experience. You know, I think we've made a lot about the fact that Baylor didn't have a guy who was, you know, 330 pounds and an athletic freak last year, and it's hard to find guys like that, right? Have another Apu Ika. Like, you don't find guys like that very easily. But what they do need is they need a veteran who's big. You know, 300 pounds is fine. Doesn't have to be 320 or whatever, but they need a guy like that. And, I mean, to be honest, I mean, what, yesterday they offered Indiana defensive lineman Philip Blitty, who was also at Texas Tech the year before. He's about 6'3", 305 pounds. So he's the guy that's just not on the radar, but I think that speaks to just kind of the need that's there, right? I mean, it's pretty evident that if you're offering a guy who's a grad transfer basically a day after announcing these medical retirements and a day after that guy entered the transfer portal, I think it's pretty obvious that the staff feels like that's a bit of a need as well.
Grayson, the other problem, isn't it, that everybody wants active, mobile, big dudes in the middle, whether you're running a 4-3 or a 3-4, and there're just not a lot of them out there.
You're correct. And that's why, you know, we talk about this a lot. And I know that people don't want to hear that Baylor was a young team last year, and that's true. They were a young team, and I also understand why people don't want to hear about that. But what I would say is, in order to find guys like that, Smokey, a lot of times to find, you know, multiple of them, you have to recruit them and develop them. Mm-hmm. And I know transfer portal solves a lot of your problems, but like you said, the competition to land high-end guys like that is very difficult. So when you recruit a guy like a Jackie Marshall, for instance, who missed all of last year but is an absolute athletic freak, you lose a guy like that, it makes things really difficult for you. And so I think they got a lot of development with their defensive line guys, guys like DK Kalu, Kyan Roberts today, you know, Brendan Bett, Trey Wilson. So I think there's guys in there who could live up to that level. We just haven't seen it yet consistently.
Grayson, the most curious you are about a player taking the next step, who, not a transfer, but somebody who returns from last year's roster?
Wow. That's a great question. You know, I think that I'll give you one on the defensive side and one on the offensive side. So, you know, I'm really, really curious. Does Alvin Abasele, the left tackle from last year, Campbell Barrington started initially. He moved to right tackle, moved to guard. Alvin Abasele ended up being the left tackle last year as a redshirt freshman. And now he's coming into his redshirt sophomore year. He's up to 6'6", 315 pounds. And he just has the look of a guy who's going to be a dude. And like when I saw him in high school, his film, getting to see him in person, just a different kind of guy, just the way he's built, long arms, big hands, kind of prototypical for an NFL offensive lineman. If he can take that step forward, it would be huge for this team. And so he's one I'm very, very curious about on the offensive side. Is he going to turn into, you know, one of the top tier offensive tackles in the Big 12? If he can do that, that would obviously be huge for Baylor. On the defensive side, I really, really think that it's got to be Jackie Marshall. And I know that it's a tough one because we didn't even get to see him last year because he got injured in the spring, did not play the whole season. But I'm telling you, going into the year last year, into the spring, there were so many talks about what he was going to bring to the table. I felt like he could end up being a starter by the time fall started, and that would have meant starting, you know, either with or over a TJ Franklin or a Gabe Hall. And now he comes back this year. He's over a year removed from the injury, and it just feels like it's time for him to take that next step forward. I think Inoki Brechter feels going to pull out a lot out of him as well. He seems like a technician as a coach. And so you put all that together, and I think Jackie Marshall is poised to have a very, very nice year for Baylor, a very nice bounce back year, and be a guy that, you know, kind of comes off the radar just because he missed all of last season.
Grayson, where did you find your eyes, I guess, drifting most? I mean, you were out at the very first practice. They've only practiced a couple of times now. We're not going to try to make too big of a deal of it, obviously. It's spring ball, but I know you were kind of maneuvering around, getting pictures and videos and all of that, but where did you find your eyes drawn the most the other day at practice?
Yeah, I would say it's two things. I pay a lot of attention to the offensive line and defensive line. Just both those positions are extremely fascinating to me, and the positions that I think they matter the most. You got to be able to win in the trenches. And so a lot of times I really drift over there. But I will say I was looking at the offensive line, defensive line, and I turned around, and Jake Spavital was with the quarterbacks, and they're just running four wide receiver sets, and they got all four quarterbacks standing in the middle. And for about, I don't know, 15 minutes of the time that we were in there, they're just running routes. And whether it's, you know, screen game with receivers blocking on the outside, throwing short passes for screens, whether it was deep go routes, which I know Baylor fans are really excited to see this year, whether it was wheel routes, stop and go, hitches, it just was a lot of the offense that, you know, it's a variation of what we saw from Art Briles, of course, but it was just a lot more characteristics of that spread style, that air raid style. They threw deep crossers, which I'm really excited to see. I think that play works a ton in modern college football. So seeing that and seeing the offense and seeing the receivers get a lot of reps with the quarterbacks, that really stood out to me. And it honestly made practice fun. I feel like there's a lot of momentum on the offensive side. I think for that reason, getting to see those quarterbacks throw the ball to all these weapons and some new weapons like Jamal Bell and Ashton Hawkins, like you put all that together and it just made practice a whole lot of fun to watch.
Craig, you can help fill in some of the blanks if I forget, but we asked Spavital last night after the practice about, you know, you have the quarterbacks and yes, you have receivers, but the spread or the air raid is different. You need those guys who are like the slot receivers types. And he was talking about how he wants the quarterback to develop who they think should be there based on throwing to them all the time as slots, as long angular guys on the outside, but just put them out there and see who eventually rises to the top to be a part of that inside part of the air raid.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll tell you what, I'm just based on practice, they're going to get plenty of reps with these quarterbacks and receivers. I mean, they're throwing that football, and they are getting a ton of reps in. So they're going to find out, you know, pretty quickly what they have in a lot of these guys. But, yeah, in the slot in particular, a lot of Jamal Bell, a lot of Ashton Hawkins. Bell really stands out with his speed. He transferred from Nevada, going to be a really valuable return guy as well. But his speed was very evident. And then Hawkins just honestly seems like he's going to be pretty much a go-to guy, just like he was at Texas State, a guy that's going to accumulate a lot of receptions, a lot of first downs, and he's going to surprise you a little bit with his speed, especially on wheel routes when he gets one-on-one opportunities. So there's a few guys that worked a ton in the slot. There's a few others. I mean, getting to see Jaden Porter, the four-star true freshman, he looks great. I mean, and really happy for him. He dealt with a whole lot of just a nagging injury throughout his senior year of high school. So to get to see him healthy and running and just looking like the player that I remember seeing his junior year and then towards the end of the senior year, was really, really cool to see. He looks like he's going to fit right in. And they got other guys as well. I'm sure Monterey Baldwin's going to kind of move around a little bit. And they got other guys who will play that role. But those three really stood out in the practice, you know, session that I was able to watch.
Grayson, thank you. Enjoy your weekend. We appreciate it. Grayson Grunhaper.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.